Welcome to Facebook and Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Cram, joined by Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk NASCAR here on this edition of Street Knowledge. And another doubleheader race weekend for the top series. And we have one race left to go before we set the playoff field. Of 13 of the 16 spots are clinched now after this past weekend. The big winners being Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin. No surprise there. They've been dominating the series this season in 2020. But, Rod, a lot of racing to unwrap this past weekend. Take us into it.
Well, what can you say? Again, it opens up the comment, I guess, what I've said before in some of the earlier podcasts. We need some parity in the sport right now because Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick, they pretty much dominated in both of these races on Saturday and Sunday at Dover. You had Chase Elliott that started out looking pretty good there in the first race. And then, of course, Sunday gets taken out of the race. But, you know, you're still scratching your head and wondering, where is Kyle Busch in this entire thing? Because Kyle Busch continues to kind of, I don't know, he's treading water, so to speak. But it seems like with what time is left, you know, he's running out of chances. It seems like you're throwing the life preserver to him three and four times, you know, and here's your chance. And it's like it's either the rope's not long enough for him or he's just not coordinated enough to catch on to that life preserver and to grab on and possibly pull out a win. They've had some bad luck this year. I don't know what you can say about the way that Kyle Busch is heading right now going into this final race before the playoffs and everything. But, you know, all of these guys, Chase Elliott, you know, it really wasn't a much of an impact on him, so to speak, of going out in that second race on Sunday. He's already qualified. He's punched his ticket. But you've got people there that are floating. Byron, for example, and we've talked about him. He was floating near about 17th, 16th. He makes it into the 16th. If the playoffs were cut today, Johnson would be on the outside looking in once again. And then you've got drivers who have been so good this year. Matt DiBenedetto, for example, in the Wood Brothers car. He's right now wondering, what do we have to do to be able to pull off a win or at least a top finish to be able to get those points that we need to get back into contention for the playoffs? Because he has promised and told people, I'm a capable driver. I can do this. But, you know, here he is. He's on the outside looking in right now at this point going to Daytona.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, this among all the shocks, you know, that is Kevin Harvick. Let's talk about Kevin Harvick for a second.
Okay.
Seven wins this season, all since we've come back from the roughly two-month COVID break. This is 7 wins in 14 races. What a dominant stretch for him. I mean, maybe put this in context of what we've seen some of the other more dominant drivers of the past 15, 20, 30 years, whatever. How historic is this, what he's been able to do here these last couple of months?
To me, I think it's really historic, especially in this COVID age of racing that we've had to live with this year, because, you know, we had talked before, where were these drivers going to stand coming back after a 10-week delay? And it seems like for Kevin Harvick and Rodney Childers, they haven't missed a beat. They have just been on fire with the way things have been running. But the rest of the Stewart Haas team hasn't really been that much in contention. Clint Bowyer has shown some flashes of some, you know, some good racing here in the last little bit. Eric Almirola has been really good, but Eric Almirola just can't seal the deal. But Kevin Harvick seems to have everything in place right now that has been able to put him in. And, you know, you got to throw Cole Custer into that as well. Cole Custer wins that big race at Kentucky. That just shows the dominance, I think, of that Stewart Haas team. Everybody may not be winning at this point, but they've the first and foremost, the figurehead, so to speak, of Stewart Haas racing right now, Kevin Harvick, is pulling off the wins. And I think it's a really big accomplishment for them in this time that we wondered what was going to happen with racing after 10 weeks.
We did. And, you know, it speaks a lot to that team too, I would say, perhaps, because we are in an era where you're not able to, we've talked about this a lot on the show, Rod, but you're not able to get out there and practice. You're not able to, you know, you pretty much just get in a car and take off. And so, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, they were the winners this weekend. They've been the dominant guys, this whole season. I guess I've asked this before, but as we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs, is there anyone who has a chance to sort of break into that power twosome as we start the playoffs here, I guess next week? Is there anyone else, maybe Chase Elliott, anyone else who seems to be a contender, or are these two the guys that are most likely to be the winner at the end of this?
Right now at this point, I think these two guys are the ones. I think they're going to be making the run. Denny Hamlin has a lot on the line this time, and he wants that championship. He missed it last year. He wants the championship this year. You know, for Kevin Harvick, it would be just another little notch in the belt, so to speak, that he would have, that he's pulled off another, you know, big championship, and he's been able to do so in such a way. I think those two are probably the dominant ones right now going into Daytona. But then after the playoffs start, it could be anybody's ball game. I mean, you know, a little bit of some bad luck along the way, and Kevin Harvick could be out of it. He could drop out of the standings pretty quickly. Would that open up for maybe a Brad Keselowski? I've got the feeling that maybe Keselowski might get stronger come playoff time. But, you know, I don't know. It's been hard to call, especially this season. You've made the point. You know, these guys jump in the cars. We've talked about practice and, you know, getting down pit stops and all these things. This is not the thing that I think that weighs so much on a race team as much as it is producing a quality machine for these guys to drive out on the track. And for Kevin Harvick, it's been a Sunday drive. It's what it's ended up being, because he's just shown his talent and what he's capable of pulling off. And that's what he's done.
It really feels like you're playing a football game without having an ability to do a walkthrough. You can draw up a game plan,
right,
but you can't really go practice the plays. And then you get out there on Sunday, you got to play the plays, and it's tough. I mean, but yeah, he's 7 wins and 14 races in this era for Kevin Harvick. That's just astounding. So, we talked about Jimmy Johnson. Let's go a little bit more in depth on him. He's it's last season. We know this, and it's pretty much, it feels like win and in. And if you don't win, you're not in. I mean, it may not be quite that dramatic, but it's setting up to be that way Saturday night for him.
Yeah, it is. It's setting up that way. And, you know, he's done well at Daytona before in the past, but, you know, again, he's been so snake bit, it seems like, at different times off and on this season. It's hard to call when he is on top of his game. You know, he finished third or fourth this past weekend in one of the races. And I was really surprised that he finished as strong as he did, because he said that he did not have as good a car as he had hoped he would have at Dover. You know, he's dominated at Dover before, but then again, I saw one of the wrecks that he had going back several years. And I'm telling you, he really never had a chance to get out of the gate from the beginning. So Jimmy Johnson, when he goes to Daytona, if he's got a good Hendrick power pack, you know, they're under the hood for him. I think they could make a good run at this. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, 39, 40, 41 other cars that's going to be in that pack that's going to be competing for that as well. And each one of these guys, to one degree or another, is hoping to be that Cinderella. And they're hoping to catch, you know, the carriage that's going to take them home before the clock strikes midnight. Because if it does, you know, you've got maybe a first-time winner, like a Cole Custer that pulled the win off at Kentucky. You've got somebody that could walk in there. David Ragan did it before. I think he's done it at Daytona. He's done it at Talladega. But, you know, that's been years ago. We'll just see what happens when they all get the green flag on Saturday night at Daytona.
It really feels to me like this could be one of the more exciting races we've seen in a while, just because – because there's so much at stake. There's 3 spots still open, 13 spots determined, 3 spots still open. And you've got names that are you know, recognizable household names in NASCAR competing for those 3 spots. So, I mean, I guess it's all out, right? I mean, Saturday night should be a really interesting ride.
It should be. And, I mean, this is one of those races that could end up being – okay, I think we talked about it maybe a little bit. We thought the All-Star race might be one of those slam bam little deals or something. Well, it really wasn't. This time around at Daytona, this could be one of those slam bam deals. We might see one of those green white checkers go into overtime sort of things before this race is finally decided. And then when that flag falls for that final race or that final lap, you better watch out. Anybody could pull this win off, and that's what could happen on Saturday night.
And for our viewers out there, listeners on the podcast archive of this, we did talk about before we hit the play button, the weather this weekend. I know a lot of folks are looking at the weather. I had the Weather Channel in my office the last 2 days. But it looks like, as far as NASCAR is concerned on Saturday night, they should be in the clear.
Yeah, no residual things, or at least that's the way it looks right now, because I was looking at the map just before we went on, and the way that this one storm right now that is making impact category 4, it's going to curve back on top of us really across Southwest Virginia. Now, if we had a Bristol this weekend, which typically has always been Bristol about this last weekend before the month of August, we would say iffy on that. But, you know, since they're going to be in Daytona, weather looks at least promising that they can get this race in. So that's not going to be much of a factor in this.
Yeah, I will say just a weather news kind of thing here. The track of this storm is concerning for us. We're in Virginia. We're both based in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Of course, Gus Free Press, Virginia. You're in Southwest Virginia. Yeah, it's concerning. You know, there's a storm that hit our neck of the woods. Nelson County is just one county over from me in central Virginia. 1969 Hurricane Camille, the remnants of Hurricane Camille,
right,
devastated this area. Devastated. I mean, and it went, it came through Louisiana, took a similar path as the cone we're seeing right now. So, folks, and down your way, Rod, and then of course, you know, those fans and viewers up in our neck of the woods, central Virginia, pay attention because. You know, history, it was 51 years ago, 1969, yep. Hurricane Camille took a very similar path as this is projected to hit. So certainly the folks in Louisiana are in the crosshairs right now, but don't let your guard down. This could be devastating for Virginia as well. So hopefully it's not, but be prepared just in case.
Yeah, this is one of those storms that kind of reminds me of, try to remember the one that came up the Virginia coast here several years ago, and then it just sit there and it did nothing but just grind out, and it flooded a lot of these chicken coops and places that produce chicken and things along the coast. And this is one of those that they're predicting 30 to 50 mile an hour winds, even though it's going to be inland. Still, that's going to be, you know, some strong winds for people. And then also the rain, you could have flash flooding out of it. We've had some flash flooding here off and on, and some downpours just occasionally, but you know, it could add insult to injury before it's over with.
Yeah, these kind of storms, I mean, I'm a meteorologically nut, an amateur guy who thinks way too much about it, I guess, for my own good, but these kind of storms can impact our areas, your area in Southwest Virginia, my area here in Central Virginia, significantly, because the mountains kind of slow them up. If they come, if they're that far inland, the mountains can slow them up. And so, you know, Nelson County during that Camille storm from 1969 had, there were places that had 29 inches of rain in 24 hours. And because the mountains can just kind of wring the water out of the air, out of the sky. So, be careful. Hopefully we can just, hopefully we'll have power and we'll be able to watch the race on Saturday night, and have a good time, while, you know, the storm moves through, maybe hopefully moves through quickly and just give us some rain, but, be prepared for that. Hopefully we get to watch a race. And then Rod and I can break it down for you later on. But Rod, yeah. I think anything else in NASCAR news that I've not asked you to cover about that's breaking?
Well, one thing that's kind of concerning me right now, I'm kind of wondering what the deal is. The rumblings are going on right now about Richard Petty Motorsports, and I don't know if you've caught that one or not. No. But there is talk right now. The rumor is making the travel along the, I guess, Twitter and everything else that Bubba Wallace might very well become a part owner into Richard Petty Motorsports, but he's got two more, maybe one more, maybe two more partners that would be coming in with him that would take a stake in the operation. The surprising thing is I keep on hearing Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin might be one of these drivers that's going to say if he goes and clinches a championship this year, he might turn around and say, I'm done as a driver. I'm going to be a car owner now, and I'm going under the Richard Petty Motorsports, you know, banner. And then that way, if that happens, the talk is they're going to go to Toyota. They're going to switch over from Chevrolet and then go into Toyota, and they'll get some Joe Gibbs Racing backing at that point. Toyota has been looking for someone that would go besides Joe Gibbs Racing and pick up that that research and development plan that they've got out there. And, you know, nobody has really bit at the hook, so to speak, just yet. But then I heard the rumor today, which they say it's just rumor, but I don't know. I mean, there's some connection in there. Denny Hamlin has had connection I know that Brad Daugherty's had connection at one point or another, some of these people, but the name Michael Jordan keeps on popping up in here. And Michael Jordan is a fan of NASCAR, and he might very well invest a little bit into this. And who knows, Denny Hamlin, Bubba Wallace, Michael Jordan, you'd have a race team that NASCAR has been wanting, have some minority control in it, you know, to where they could run the operation. So we got to wait to see on this. There's a lot of answers still to be sorted out to these questions, but the rumor has it right now, he did not like what he saw from Chip Ganassi. And so he may be staying with Richard Petty Motorsports, and of course their major investment that they have backing them, but they may be coming in and maybe going to change the way that we look at racing before it's over with.
Yeah, really. That, it's one thing to be a driver. It's another thing to be a driver owner. It's a different level. And it's a, it's a chance to really expand your brain. And the idea of Denny Hamlin, Michael Jordan getting involved. Wow. That's something. Let's see if it flushes out, but that is fascinating possibilities there, Rod.
Well, that rule though, you see, it used to be Dale Earnhardt was able to go and compete, drive for Richard Childress, and still had his namesake of Dale Earnhardt Incorporated there for a long time. Then they changed the rule. And, you know, the only way for Denny Hamlin to be able to do that is he's going to have to take that step back, and he's going to have to be able to do that. And Bubba Wallace can still have a little bit of control in it, so to speak, but can still be the driver and then let whoever else is coming in as an investor kind of run the majority of the show, so to speak.
Interesting news there. You know, we talk about this a lot. Silly season is a fun time in NASCAR, and we still have one more race before the playoffs start, and we got a lot of movement, a lot of coming and going potential. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. Well, Ron, I think that wraps us up for the week. Thank you for your time. We'll get you back on. We'll talk about the playoffs and more. But thanks for your time today.
Okay, Chris. Thanks.